Hear now the word of our Lord. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Our second reading comes to us from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we do give you thanks for the opportunity to gather here together in this space and time and to be able to worship with you, to be able to bask in your holy presence, because we need you. Especially during a time such as this, we are reminded that we need you to hold on to give us strength and courage to face a new day, a new week. Oh God, may we lean more fully into you, to your love, into your grace and forgiveness. And may this Lenten road on which we travel remind us of truly what an amazing and awesome gift it is that you would journey toward the cross on our behalf so that our relationship might be restored with you. Oh God, I pray that you would use me as your instrument to convey your message to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the story of Noah's Ark seems appropriate after we have experienced so much rainfall over the last couple of weeks. Half of my backyard was submerged, as I'm sure many of yours were as well. And my dog looked at us over the past so many days like we were crazy when we'd urge her to go outside to take care of one of life's necessities, as if to say, "I don't want to be out there any more than you do." I about wiped out yesterday as I was walking back from the car into the house as I slid through the mud, and then Jonathan slid in the very same spot behind me. I was talking with my buddy Gary earlier this week as we both spoke of the first sunshine we had seen in days and how that lifted our spirits. You could hear it in our voices. Long rainy periods such as we have endured recently in the bleak midwinter, or is it late winter? I'm not sure. Anyway, this rainy season seems to only make this time that tests our limits even more depressing. Perhaps this feeling we've carried around with us in the midst of the gloomy, weepy skies may give us an inkling of what it must have been like for Noah in this passage of Scripture. This faithful man and his family are selected to build an ark, fill it with two of every kind of animal as God cleanses the earth. It rains for what seems like forever. As I was preparing for the sermon, I was reading up on what scholars think actually would have been the period of time that Noah and his family and all the animals would have been in the ark. And there was a lot of discussion back and forth, but somewhere around a year is what they were thinking. A year is a long time to endure dreary skies and rain and to be alone and to be stuck in an ark with a lot of smelly animals. It rains for what seems like forever, and Noah looks for signs of dry land as he sends out the dove, and finally, the good news comes back. The rains have stopped, and the floodwaters are receding. And then comes the news that God is making a covenant with Noah, his descendants, and every living creature who has taken up residency alongside Noah and his family inside the ark. God says, I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. God creates a sign to remind him of this covenant, and that sign is a rainbow. In our New Testament reading, Jesus is baptized by John in the waters of the Jordan. As he rises out of the water, a voice from above says, "You are my son, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Every child needs to hear that from their parent. Jesus is driven out into the wilderness for 40 days where he fasts and is tested. John is arrested. And as Jesus begins his journey toward the cross with immediacy, in the words of Mark, he proclaims, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." James Howell writes that this week's scriptural text, these texts speak of immense hope coming out of a time of extreme lack and struggle. Does that sound familiar? Immense hope coming out of a time of extreme lack and struggle. And so as we read of the first covenant and the journey toward the new covenant established at Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sins in the midst of this pandemic, it seems appropriate to contemplate where we see immense hope during this period of extreme lack and struggle we call the pandemic. Now, there are times when we decide that what we put our hope in is synonymous with God's hope. And that, unfortunately, isn't always the truth. This is not going to be a popular statement, but we often put our hope in our wealth, in material things that bring us a short-term false sense of security. We put our hope in powerful leaders. We put our hope in a particular political party or ideology. We put our hope in our family. We put our hope in our future ambitions. We put our hope in our health and getting through this pandemic without catching COVID, or at least surviving it. We put our hope in this pandemic coming to an end. Oh, if we can just get to the other side of this, if we can just get everyone vaccinated, oh, then, that's where we place our hope. To be able to hug our loved ones once more, to be able to go back to school in person, to the vaccine being widely administered, to not spending so much time on Zoom, on communication, not being so difficult, on no longer having to be so creative to find ways to do just basic ordinary things, to being able to worship together in this space and sing at the top of our lungs without fear of infection. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We put our hope in things we can see, we can touch, we can count, measure, quantify. We put our hope and the things that are easier to wrap our heads around, things that are just off in the near distance. But the psalmist writes in chapter 33, verses 20 to 22 of the book of Psalms, in the New Living Translation of where we should find hope. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Our hope can only be found in God. We are reminded of it when we see a rainbow in the sky. We remember when we read the words of the good news, which proclaims that God has sent his own Son so that we would not perish but would have eternal life. We put our hope in a God who reaches out to us and longs for a relationship with us that sustains us if only we would have faith enough to reach back. This past Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, I spoke of how we don't really need to be reminded of our mortality this year, which is so much of what Ash Wednesday is about, that day that begins the season of Lent. 40 days and 40 nights, not including Sundays, on our way to Easter. Normally we talk about and we're reminded of our mortality, but I reminded us this past Wednesday that we don't need to be reminded of our mortality right now because we are constantly reminded of it. We are constantly being reminded of our mortality these days. Death surrounds us. What we need to be reminded of is that God is with us in it every step of the way. That's what we need to be reminded of. And that death does not have the final say. And so when our circumstance becomes too much at any given moment, the best tool that we have in our tool belt is to go to God in prayer. And what prayer does for us is that it constantly connects us back to God when we inevitably become adrift throughout our days and overcome by despair, so that we keep life in perspective and remember where our hope comes from. Friends, our hope can be found only in the Lord, the one whose love is unfailing and surrounds us even as I speak to you. As Jesus begins to proclaim the good news openly with the cross on his horizon, his fame spreading throughout Galilee and beyond, may we heed the reminder once more to put our hope in God and in God alone. Amen.